You are now listening to Conversations with Congressman King. Discussion on issues that impact your life with your representative from Iowa's 5th District.
Welcome to Conversations with Congressman King. We're here with Jan Scruggs, who is the founder and president of the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Fund. Jan's a Vietnam veteran. He's a wounded veteran and decorated for valor. Served 2 years in the United States Army, and at least a year of that, or not quite a year of that, over there. It was cut short because of your wounds, I believe, Jan. But what Jan Scruggs is famous for is, in May of 1979, after having conceived of the vision of creating a memorial for our Vietnam veterans, put $2,800 of his own money, which was real money in 1979, up front to get this started. And that was May of 79. By November 13th of 1982, $8.4 million had been raised. The memorial was built. Of course, a design was approved, and America has been captivated and seen the wounds of a war heal slowly over time, with 80 million people having visited this wall. And I know that we spoke about this in the last segment a little bit, Jan, but I wanted to just put the review of this through. And once again, thank you for the contribution that you've made as a soldier, of the blood that you spilled in Vietnam and the patriotism that you demonstrated, but the high level of leadership that and dedication that has set a standard for our entire nation.
Well, it's just a pleasure to be here, and it's a pleasure to give anything back to a great country like that we live in, that gives us all an opportunity to succeed or fail. But the great thing is that we have an opportunity to live in freedom, and most people don't in this world.
It is still true that most people don't in this world. And as we were talking in the break, Jan, about what is the legacy of Vietnam, and as the traveling Vietnam Wall has been moved from place to place across Iowa this fall and just concluded with a ceremony in Sioux City, Iowa here not too long before this program, I reflect upon a speech that I gave in Cherokee, and I hadn't put this in this perspective until that time. I'd thought about it. I had a general understanding, but I started to bring some dates together, and it started to click for me. And one of those dates was the November 11th, which is, of course, Armistice Day and now Veterans Day. And we have September 11th of 2001, the second day in the history of this country that will live in infamy. And as I began scrolling through, I looked up the date of the agreement at Yalta. And now I'm guessing at this because I don't think I committed it exactly to memory, but I believe it was March 11th, 1945. Perhaps it was February 11th, 1945. At any rate, it was the 11th of the month. And as I thought about the significance of the 11th of the month, I made the statement there with the Vietnam veterans in Cherokee County that when Stalin and Churchill and Franklin Delano Roosevelt met at Yalta in 1945, they carved up the European map at that time, and they agreed which side would live under the Soviet Union after the Second World War, which side would live on the Western side, the free side. And I made the case to our veterans there in Cherokee County that their destiny was set on that day. The day that there's an agreement made at Yalta on where the Iron Curtain would actually be. No one had conceived of the idea of the Iron Curtain at that time. It was Churchill's speech at Fulton, Missouri later on in 1946 that was the Iron Curtain speech. But the Iron Curtain did descend across Europe the way Churchill said it did. And as it clanked down into place like a prison cell locking on hundreds of millions of people, and the wall literally came up and was built in Berlin. That Iron Curtain that was put in place by the agreement in Yalta sealed the destiny of millions of people to live either under the tyranny and the suffering consequences of lack of freedom that communism has demonstrated, or on the west side of the wall, on the free side of the wall. And I wanted to express to our Vietnam veterans that if you fought in Vietnam, you were the last stop. You fought against the dominoes of the communist empire that was using their military might to take over the world. They had a voracious appetite for conquest. They had no conscience about slaughtering and murdering people, their own people. Millions of people died under Stalin. Millions of people died under Mao. And there was the just post the Korean War. We had fought the Chinese there. And, you know, the young people that grow up today lose their sense, I think, of the perspective of the history of how the Vietnam War started and what it was about. But in the end, holding our ground there, and yes, South Vietnam did fall, and that date being about April 30th, 1975, but it's the last stop for communist military expansion in the world. And 14 years later, November 9th, 1989, the wall came down in Berlin, the Iron Curtain came crashing down, and freedom echoed across Eastern Europe, actually all the way across Asia, all the way to the Pacific Ocean, and hundreds of millions of people live free that would not have otherwise if it weren't for the courage of our Vietnam veterans who held the line in Southeast Asia. That's a bit of a long story for the host of a program, Jan Scruggs, but I wanted to lay that out and ask you your view on the meaning of having fought in this Vietnam War that we're talking about.
Well, you know, there's no short way to tell a long story, but it was really President Truman who decided that containment of communism would be a national priority. He was the president during the Korean War and actually went down to a 37% approval rating because of that war, and, you know, it wasn't going very well for quite a while. But he felt that we must contain communism, which we did in Korea, and ultimately we supported the French and basically took over when they were defeated in 1954, which is a year after the Korean War. So probably young people who are listening to this are saying, what is all this? History education is such an important thing. I mean, everything that happens in the world, there's a history behind it that helps us better understand it. So I really hope they're teaching history in Iowa and that they have you into a few of these classes as well, you and people like Bud Day, to stimulate some good discussion. Yeah, it's good.
Well, I have a tremendous privilege in this job to meet people that have been really living history and been players in changing history. Bud Day is one. And another one is yourself, Jan Scruggs. The visits that I make to the Vietnam Wall here on the Mall will never mean the same to me after we've had this meeting, and I understand the effort that you put into it, but it has been profoundly meaningful to me and the other 80 million people that have visited. And you recognized also another need there at the Vietnam Wall. As people come and go, they stop and visit the kiosk that's there. If the weather's bad, there really isn't much of a place to get in, not much of a place to linger and really absorb the meaning of the wall. You have a second inspiration beyond the wall. Could you tell us a little bit about the educational center that you've put so much work into?
Yes, we're in the middle of completing fundraising and so forth for the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Center. And within the center will be the photographs as you go down of the casualties from the Vietnam War. And the photographs will change every day. Extraordinary piece of architecture. And then the photographs will go to respect, loyalty, duty, the military values that you learn in the military. It's right across the street from the memorial. We're raising the money privately. We got a $10 million grant from Time Warner. And we're getting money from oil companies and defense contractors and the general public and veterans groups will get this done. This will display some of the 100,000 items left at the memorial as well. But as you leave the center, there will be the photographs of people who gave their lives all the way from Lexington Bridge and Concord to all the way through the Fallujah. It will have photographs of those and all the wars. So it's nothing that it's something that's never been done before. And we especially want to thank the efforts of General Colin Powell, who is our chairman, and many members of Congress who have helped us fight the battles and that we needed to fight in order to get this bill passed, and as well as to fight some federal bureaucrats who are not particularly excited about obeying the laws of the United States of America, but we continue to press them very hard.
You're listening to Conversations with Congressman King. We're here with Jan Scruggs, who is the founder and president of the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Fund. And the wall here here on the Mall in Washington, D.C., and the traveling wall, one can presume, would not exist if it were not for Jan Scruggs. The second level of this is the educational center. that you're in the process of raising the money for and jump through some bureaucratic hoops, and it sounds like some of the bureaucrats have been significantly less than cooperative, Jan. And I wanted to ask you, though, as I look at the photo display of the Educational Center, and as you pictures of American patriots all the way from Lexington to Fallujah, how many pictures will be on display at a time, and how many thousand pictures must you have in your database? And is that something that you will continue to add to that database as time goes on in the same fashion that names are added to the wall?
Yes, there'll come a point in time, probably next summer, in which we'll have a national appeal to get all the photographs. I mean, all the photographs from Iowa, work with your governor, the state veterans people. But basically, we need 58,000 photos from Vietnam, but we also need thousands and thousands from the other wars as well for the exit experience. And we're trying to find some of the drawings of the actual people who were the fallen from the earlier wars, the War of 1812 and the Mexican-American War, and indeed especially the Revolutionary War that gave us our freedom. So it's a great collection. But in order to display these, there are 18 photos at a time, you see, and they will fade probably every 5 minutes to another group of 18 photos. So, but what we have to do is we can get 2 million people a year in this visitor center, but we get 4 million visitors to the wall. But for this to work, it has to be across from the wall, which is why we've been fighting this whole battle for so long. But essentially, if we can get people in and out of there in 40 minutes, and that will give them an opportunity to see about 80 to 100 photos of Vietnam casualties and about a little less than that of the montage from the other wars. But a visual experience unlike any other.
Jan, I you know, as I try to envision that it looks like, I'm also thinking about the families that we have in the western part of the state that I have the privilege to represent, but any place in the listening area who have lost a family member in any of the wars, whether it would be the recent ones here, the global war on terror, Vietnam War, Korean War, World War II, World War I, on back. What format can you take these photos in? I'm thinking in terms of, as people listen, they probably have family photos out there by the thousands.
Yeah.
Can they scan those photos in a format and send them into? And are you available on a website where they can easily make that link?
Yes, the website's vvmf.org, and it's called the Virtual Wall. You know, with these photographs, it's sort of the bigger the better. Because as we make these really large, in which they're actually 6 feet tall by 6 feet wide, you lose the resolution if it's not a good photo. So the better photos we can get as well. But there are great photographs, even from the Civil War, with a fairly high definition that we'll be able to use, and certainly plenty from World War II and Korea. But the bigger, the more clear the photograph, the better it's been preserved, the better it easier it is to make it into high resolution. But for the purpose of our website, for now, you won't have any problems. If you have any Vietnam photos, we'll take good care of them.
And they can just email those scanned photos to the website, and you'll take it from there. Any authentication will be dealt with accordingly. And I would quickly mention that there also is an effort in the Library of Congress to record the interviews of our veterans, and to concentrate right now on our World War II veterans, but really all of our veterans. And I've interviewed a good number from my district. It's
good.
Been quite an experience for me to be able to do that, Jan.
Yeah.
Will there be a linkage here between the pictures and the stories in the Library of Congress?
That is hoped for, because, as well, this is sort of a good place to capture veterans, find the authentic military veterans of the different wars who will come there, and to pull them aside and do an interview. So there's certainly discussion of that. And
if there's
a
need,
I have an
understanding that you will identify that need and find a way to link it together. We're here, and I want to thank you, Jan Scruggs. You had the vision, the inspiration to conceive of the Vietnam War Memorial. It turned into the wall, and the wall with 58,000-plus names on it, 80 million visitors, and now to establish an educational center. It will happen. It'll happen here in Washington, D.C., in the kind of the vision that you have said. I want to thank you for being with us here today, Jan Scruggs, on Conversations with Congressman King.
Please join us next time on Conversations with Congressman King. For more information on any of the topics mentioned today, visit the website at house.gov/Steve King.